Laura Dawson, we're in conversation today. You're the founder and ice cream maker, or ice cream lady, as people like to call you in St Albans. You're with Darlish, which we are, and you know, we all love it. I know many listeners love Darlish ice cream. What has the last 7 weeks been like for you?
Confusing, as I'm sure it's been for many business owners. I think we've kind of taken like a watch and wait approach. This year is meant to be a really big year for the business. We plan to open kind of four new sites, two in Hertfordshire and then one in Oxford at Vista Village and one in London. And I think we just thought, let's just not make any moves until we know what's going on. And we've gradually figuring that out as time goes on. Trying to figure out ways to get our ice cream to people until we know when we can open some bricks and mortar type stores.
Absolutely. And like you say, you had these plans on the horizon and they've changed, and I guess because of the unpredictable nature of it, you won't know perhaps until June or August. In terms of you adapting as a business, that's what's really struck me, because I guess you're in some of the supermarkets in London like Selfridges and Whole Foods, and Smallford Farm Shop stocks the ice cream, but many of us have been to the parlour and had the ice cream. Talk me through the process of actually kind of hitting a point in the last 7 weeks where you've said, right, okay, let's do this home delivery service. And how did that even become a thing?
Yeah, it definitely felt like not a logical thing to do. It's incredibly hard moving ambient foods around and delivering, but let alone moving a frozen product with just one freezer van. I think I kind of tested the water. Social media is really great, and our Facebook following has a real quite local following. So it was a good way to kind of ask whether people wanted it. And I felt like we got enough responses to justify launching it. When I started out, I thought we might get 40 orders. And by the end of just a couple of days, we'd had, a couple of hundred orders, and we just didn't quite know what to do. We had limited staffing. We didn't know how we were going to make all the ice cream. I guess it's fair to say we hadn't really thought about how popular it would be, and it was just all hands on deck, or as many hands that were in safe distance at least. I think the main thing for us was that we're not delivery drivers. Massive credit to delivery drivers. I don't know how they do it. Yeah. We didn't have any kind of software that they use to track how to do it. We knew if we had one delivery van moving from spot to spot, we wouldn't get through it in a day. And I wanted everyone to have our ice cream, so I said yes to everyone and then realized that it was going to be really hard. But I want everyone to be able to access it, so that I often get myself into that situation.
Say yes and work it out later.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It's a very, if you know kind of like any Middle Eastern people, you'll know that they're a bit like, yeah, sure, that's fine, let's do it. Yeah.
I do. I think it's a common kind of behaviour, really, isn't it? I'll just take it on board and work out how to do it later.
Yeah, exactly. That's definitely me. Now you've been learning. I think that's it.
Yeah, it is a learning curve. And you've noticed that every week it's been sort of really unusual. And I guess the whole 7 weeks is a real, unprecedented time. And you've sort of been doing deliveries every 2 weeks. But what I found really interesting is that you've noticed that people are willing to explore and try different things. What have you been noticing in terms of what people have been ordering or doing in terms of, the Darlish ice cream and products?
Yeah, I think one thing about Darlish is that, and the thing that we feel keeps everyone coming back, is that we change the flavours quite a lot. We have our core retail flavours, these beautiful tubs. But then in the parlour, there's always been a rotating kind of four flavours. And that has, we know that's why people come back. And so I wanted to carry on doing that with the deliveries. And so you'll see that they change kind of every 2 weeks. Well, we've only been doing it for 2 weeks, but they will be changing. And the other thing that we've noticed is that tahini is a really odd flavour for a lot of people. I know that everyone that tries it will love it if they can have sesame, but it takes something for someone to want to actually pull it off the shelf. for some reason we have sold the most tahini, you know, we've ever sold in you know, 2 or 3 years in the last kind of 2 months. So I don't know, someone obviously gave it a try and then they've stocked up on it, and, yeah. And now there's just tahini production going on all the time. So
it's not just for hummus, is it, Laura?
No, yeah. No, it's definitely, you know, alongside something sweet, it's like a great peanut butter alternative kind of ice cream. Yeah, it's good.
Are you glad that people are getting more adventurous?
Yeah, that's what we're about. You can go and buy, you know, salted caramel or vanilla in any other store, but I think what makes us special is our kind of willingness to take on strange combinations that work and things that they can't experience in any other brand that they see in a supermarket.
Absolutely. And I really want to touch on the point you've made about the deliveries, because it's been such an unknown for you, hasn't it? Like you say, you've got the classic Middle Eastern behaviour. I don't want to generalise, because it is a behaviour, like I said, many of us have. You've taken on board all the orders, and you were working day and night, weren't you? And I think you didn't sleep for a couple of days, you said, practically anyway, because you were delivering all these ice creams and you've used to potting them by hand. Can you talk us through that process? Because people might not know about that, what it's like for a small business like yourself that you say is dealing with an ambient product.
Yeah, ice cream really changes, you know, in terms of volume and also when you're serving it. So, you know, in the parlour it comes out, it's lovely and soft, it's at perfect temperature, and you know you're going to sell the ice cream straight away. You have to change a recipe the moment you know it's going to go into storage. I also have to consider that your freezers are very different at home to my freezers. So mine are kind of scientific, hold their temperature at minus 25. Yours are going to be fluctuating because you're getting your, you know, your frozen chips and your frozen peas out. And so we change the recipe to make sure that the ice cream doesn't degrade with temperature fluctuation. So I have to consider that. There's also, I'm normally, you know, working on a machine called a Carpegiani. It's kind of like the Rolls Royce of ice cream machines, I guess. And that will produce about 16 litres at a time. But when people are, you know, ordering hundreds of litres, I have to kind of change my method. Normally I'll pop by hand, and I don't have a special machine with a pressurized nozzle. So I'll actually make the ice cream in a pan, and then I'll put it into a patisserie bag and pipe 50 pots.
That's amazing.
And I normally can't fill my hands by the end of it. But yeah, we change machines depending on how much the volume is going up. Yeah, so you never know up until, you know, the orders end as to where you're going to be and what you're going to need to use.
There's so much craftsmanship and manual labour that goes into this, Laura. I was completely unaware, and I'm sure listeners are thinking, gosh, I had an idea, but perhaps not quite the full extent of what you and your team are doing.
Yeah, so much. I often have a permanent band across my forehead from my hairnet, and my thumbprint doesn't even work on my iPhone anymore because my fingers are so ruined from
frozen.
Being in the cold.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. I like the point you made about the slightly scientific side to it, because you are actually based sometimes at Harpenden, the Rothamsted Centre, to do some of the production of the ice cream.
Yeah, most of our ice cream production happens at Rothamsted Research in Harpenden. When we have to move to a larger machine, we move to a different site. But the Harpenden one is really where all the experimentation goes on, and the smaller batch kind of parlour ice cream happens. And that's brilliant. We're really grateful to Rothamsted for taking us on there, because it's, for anyone that doesn't know it, it's kind of a world-renowned agricultural scientific centre. And you know, they work on crops and crop viruses. So some of these people are so super intelligent, and I'm kind of there with my ice cream machine. But they, you know, they are a good help. We use some of the scientists there to help us look at sugar levels in our ice cream. We talk about using natural plant-based roots. We use that to, in our ice cream, to bring down sugar levels but keep the ice cream soft. So there's a huge amount of science behind the ice cream that, you know, we'll collaborate with people on, so that we can give everyone the best and kind of healthier type of ice cream that we're maybe aiming for.
Oh, absolutely, Laura. And it's a real credit to you and your team for, I mean, not only evolving through the course of, you know, your business, but more so in these last 7 weeks, really showing how like a local small business can think on their feet and do something quite extraordinary and I guess fulfill so many people. This, you know, like you say, you've done the deliveries twice now, you're hoping to do them every 2 weeks. It's quite an incredible thing and I think quite inspiring, no doubt.
Oh, thanks. No, it's great. It's been really good. And actually, everyone's been very supportive. We wouldn't have had a business and we've got our bills to pay and that's why we had to kind of think on our feet. But it wouldn't have worked if people hadn't have placed those orders and been really supportive and spread the word on social media. That's really what made it happen.
Absolutely. It's good to just give it a go, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Speaking of getting in contact with you, how can people do so if they're not sort of avidly following you and drooling over your Instagram pictures already?
So we actually had to keep our home delivery just to Facebook.
Yep.
Say at Darlish Ice Cream, because we can't deliver to London, which is where most of our Instagram following is. So we're not putting anything on Insta. It's making everyone
I have
jealous.
Noticed that. The last one was the baklava sandwich, ice cream sandwich.
Yeah. Yes. I know. We're hoping at some point if our bakery is up and running, we can get some baklava to people. But people can contact us on Facebook at Darlish Ice Cream, or they can email. Probably best just to me, Laura at Darlish Ice Cream, and it may be one of the team that get back to you or me. I think that's the best way for now. Our phones are kind of probably hidden down the sofa somewhere, you know, in the chaos of cones and ice
frozen
cream,
frozen in a tub somewhere.
Yeah.